I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll open up for public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Does anybody have public comment at this time? All right, we'll move on to item number three. We have first the approval of minutes for July
13th, 2021. I approve.
I make a motion to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And we've got the approval of the minutes for June 8th, 2021.
I wasn't here, so.
Oh, okay. I make a motion to approve the minutes.
All in favor of the approval of the minutes for June 8th?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
I'm leaving.
Opposed, motion passed. Item number four, we've got the approval of today's agenda, August 10th, 2021.
I move to approve the minutes.
All right, all in favor of the approval? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we'll go to informational items. Item number five, we'll first receive a report from the Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department.
Good evening, Kent Smith, Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department. For the month of July, we ended up with 11 medical calls, a little bit on the low side, but with that, we did say goodbye to one of our residents out here again, and we ended up with 3 medical flights out of the valley. On the other side of this, we ended up with 3 fires, 1 brush, and 2 motor vehicle accidents. People watch the roads. I mean, we all know what kind of shape it's in. Speeding is not going to get you there any quicker, really. There was a subject that was brought up in the last couple of meetings concerning fire service for this valley and water supply. As of right now, I believe we're on 4 months without a well for the fire department. We do not have water. And the public works well that we were using has been down for 2 months now. We have a supply of water in the tanks. Once that's depleted, we don't know where the next load's coming from. This has been brought up to the county a number of times now, and it still doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So I don't know if we might be able to get maybe a commissioner involved in this at this point and see if we can start rattling some cages from a little bit higher up. Sir, what do
you think? Is there something wrong with the pump or the well dry?
No, it's the pumps. Yeah, it's the piping went rotten and it's time to replace it.
And does that belong to this town or to the county?
To the county.
To this site, which includes the fire.
What's that?
To this site.
Correct. Anything else for me? Perfect, thanks. Happy to bring all the joy.
All right, thank you. We'll now receive a report from Metro.
Hi, Officer Kent. I'm new to some of you folks. Right now, there's no statistical abnormalities out here. It's just rolling calls for service. So if you have anything in particular, give us a call, please. And we'll deal with it as fast as we can. Anything for us? Okay.
Thank you very much. We'll now receive a report from Sandy Valley Schools, Principal Hotterby.
Awesome, that was fast. Name's Tony Hotterby, Principal of Sandy Valley Schools here in town. I just wanted to stop by, as I do a couple times a year, and share with you some updates on the school and see if you had any questions. So first thing I want to talk about is the new Sandy Valley Elementary School is completed. Okay, they're finishing up what's called a punch list right now. So we're about 20-30 days out of complete, total completion, if you will, of the school. Our teachers moved in last Wednesday, and we started school on Monday in the new building. We did have an open house this evening, had a good turnout, and just a really nice school. So it's just wanted to share that with you. Our pre-K through 5 is in there, and the classrooms are almost double in size. We're looking at about 850 to 900 square feet, which gives our teachers a lot of flexibility in terms of having stations with the kids that can differentiate, do some pretty neat things that they couldn't really do in the large portal we call the Creech Building. So excited about that. Staff's really happy. I know the students are excited. High school edition. So those of you that are familiar, our high school kids have to spend their career in portables. And so the next month or so, it'll be advertised. I don't know if you've heard anything, Megan, but that's coming very quickly. We're about 95% completion on the design of the high school edition. Next month or so, the community will be aware of it. I don't know what that process looks like. It's not my area of expertise, obviously. And then come at the end of this year, they're going to bid it out to contractors, start sometime in February or March of 2022, with a completion date at the end of October 2022. Okay, so we're looking at a baseball field that is going to be integrated in the football fields on artificial turf next to our softball field that we have now. And again, the high school addition, which is going to have two state-of-the-art science labs. They're going to put close to $2 million in those labs with everything that the kids need. So as an ex-science teacher, I'm pretty excited about that. I think one of the things that's always missing in schools is students don't do enough project-based learning, hands-on things. Middle school and high school level. One change I did make this year at elementary, I did get rid of humanities as an elective. And what I did is, in the new school, I moved the second grade teacher, just voluntary, of course, to a full-time science lab in the new elementary school. And every elementary class is rotating there in there multiple times per week to do all project-based learning, labs, and that's just a big thing for me, because I often feel that kids don't get enough of that curiosity going. They don't ask a lot of the right questions. It's not their fault. I think it's the educational system. So I'm hoping to bring that back into the younger kids and then continue it on as our high school and middle school kids get that $2 million lab. So, football. Looks like we are having a football team. Really pumped about that. We are going to be playing at Keystone for the next two seasons until we get our new football field built. First game is August 27th. Is that still right?
Correct.
Okay. And we have 6 home games in a row, all on Fridays, until we start playing away. So I didn't bring a copy, but I can certainly, he's our athletic director, so if you can bring a copy, you guys want to take a look at it. I love to have the community out, even if you don't have, an affiliation to the school. Because, again, my goal, it's always been my vision, is when we get the new field, I want Friday games to be the hub of what the community is doing and come out and have a good time, regardless of whether or not you have someone on the team. I love for everyone to come out, concessions, get the lights, and you have cheerleaders. We hired a band teacher last year. He's building up a band program, so we can have a little pep band at the games. We'll start with basketball season this year, and then next year it'll go on to football, so he builds that up. So a lot of neat things, exciting things. Because it takes time, but I've been here 2 years, and I really think that everything's moving in the right direction, especially with COVID. Everything just kind of stopped, and I say it was all about surviving instead of thriving for close to a year. But now kids are back in school full time, and we're excited about having them back so we can continue the learning process with them. Any questions?
Great.
Anything I missed?
You good?
Okay. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We'll now receive a report from Clark County Parks and Recreation.
I don't really have anything.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a report from Valley Electric?
I didn't get anything.
Nothing? Okay. And we'll now receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services.
All right. I have several things to share with everybody. So the Family Dollar, they are getting ready to break ground a little more. You know, we had a little groundbreaking at the end of December, but they're gearing up. I was contacted by their project manager, and they're getting ready to start going vertical. So, well, I imagine they'll have to do a little horizontal before they go vertical. They're getting ready to go.
You said the end of December they're going to start?
No, the end of December they did the official breaking the ground. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Of breaking to keep current on everything. But now they're getting ready to start actual construction. So very exciting. The gas station, if you guys have driven by Quartz, driven at Quartz recently, they poured the concrete. They're very excited. There's a couple things I didn't know about the gas station. It's the first of its kind in the country. And it's being, the project's being funded and developed by all military veterans. So it's pretty exciting. It's a pretty exciting thing here for our community. So we'll be sharing more about that. They want to do a lot of press on it and stuff nationwide. So it's pretty exciting. I know we all were frustrated with the flooding that happened and the gravel that was washed across the road. Some of them were just our regular, you know, little stuff. There were two that were big. I have to say, I did not want to receive one single call from anybody about that. And I am in town, so I couldn't call Public Works to tell them to come out and fix it because I didn't know about it. I didn't know until I got home that evening. When I got home, I texted the supervisor at Public Works. They were dealing with, the next day, had to go deal with cleaning out a road that was completely blocked. The community could not get to their homes because their road was completely blocked. They came right out Wednesday morning. So I know people are saying, oh, it took them 3 days to get here. That's not accurate. And we don't have to compete with the Las Vegas Valley for our Public Works guys. We have rural crews, and they came out as soon as they were able to, once they got past the priority, which was getting people to actually get home to their homes. And they did do a great job. That first time, if you saw it after they did the sweeper, they didn't do a great job. They came right out and made it good, and it looks great. They did a great job that second time. So, I know it's frustrating. I drive that road every day too. I had to go over the rocks, and it is frustrating, but we aren't the only community. I know we all like to think we're the center of the universe. I do too. But there are sometimes people that have it worse than we do. So they just have to prioritize, and this time we were not at the top of the list. We had coffee with Commissioner Thursday before last. We had some really good discussion. The Commissioner shared a lot of great information. He's going to come out and do that a couple times a year, so I'd really encourage anybody that wants to come. He's super accessible and willing to talk about anything you want to talk about. So please think about doing that in the future when he's out. Construction on the 15th, I did not get an update on that, so sorry about that, guys. And our planning and zoning is going to talk about Transform Clark County. I'm going to talk about one part of it that isn't part of what their focus is tonight. One thing we've been talking about a lot that we were all very concerned about was the land use change that was going to allow lots to 1 acre, down to 1 acre lots. And that has been changed and will not be falling through. So we're going to stay at the 2 acres per one house per 2 acres size. So that's an exciting change that got made. So another thing that just came up, and Deanne had gotten it, the census, you know, we all did the census last year, and it came up with basic numbers about how many people live here in different places. Well, they also do a deeper dive, and it's called American Community Survey. So if any of you got that in the mail, it's a random thing. It asks very detailed questions. And it's not trying to get your bank account information or anything. It's so that the census knows a little bit more about our community, about our income level. And it's 100%, you know, voluntary if you want to do it. I will just tell you that census numbers and these more deep dive numbers are really important. When we got the $3 million grant for our park here, one of the factors that they look at when they're doing those grants is the income level of the community.
And because we are a lower income, lesser served, or underserved community with infrastructure like that, it got us a higher score. So I'm not saying everybody, let's say we're poor so we get a higher score, but I'm saying it helps the people making decisions to know what the income is, what the income levels are. So I did a lot of surveys in my time when I was in college. That was a big part of my studies. So just that's my little letting you know. These surveys are important, but it's completely voluntary. Yeah.
When Bob and Dan brought me a copy of the letter, I did a little research on it, and it said if it doesn't say that it's from the Census Bureau from Jeffersonville, Indiana, which it said nothing like that on the letter, it only said Washington, D.C. You can copy and paste stuff. So I'm wondering if someone's taking this survey and making it their own little research session.
Well,
so that could be something to look at.
He's coming to the senior center tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
I'm going to come down and talk to him.
Okay.
Until I hear otherwise, I'm going to assume it's legitimate because I talked to
them. And they have that credentials, correct? Something that shows they're with the census?
I believe so.
Okay.
I don't know if I can judge if those credentials are real. But
okay, I'm just saying.
I did talk to our staff in admin services that dealt very closely with the census because I went right to her and said, is this legit? And she said, yes, it's legit.
It is. The program is legit, but.
So we'll see. I'll talk to her.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll see.
I'll come, you know, with my, you know, life chapter and stuff.
Very good.
Another thing that came up was about our tax bills. And if anybody looked detailed at their tax bill, there was a line item for $2 for Mesquite Valley Water Basin. So I reached out to my contact at the State Water Engineer's Office, and he is not the expert on those fees, but he gave me a little input. Those fees are to go to the State Water Engineer to work they have to do, if they do in the basin, like when they're monitoring the depth of our basin and stuff. It is not a precursor to metering, so please do not jump on the bandwagon. It has nothing to do with metering. It's to fund the work that they do in the basin. Ours was $2. I was doing some research on tax stuff. In town, it's $3.06, or $3.08 per year. So the guy that is the expert on those is on vacation right now, so I couldn't get the information, but I will get more details about when it came to be, and why they do it, more detailed information, I'll bring back to you next month. So, yes?
When you drive down the zigzag, every time you come to a side street and leave the pavement and go onto the gravel roads, there's a huge amount of erosion all the way down the zigzag to a point where it's starting now to deteriorate the blacktop. As you go around corners, there's pieces of blacktop breaking off. And a lot of people have a hard time getting in and out of the side streets. There's like anywhere from a 3 to 10 inch ditch there. They used to come down there with the road grader once or twice a year and do all the aprons down the zigzag. They haven't done it in a long time.
I will tell you that their crews are out here this week.
Yeah, I know. They were out there today with a bobcat.
Scraping weeds.
Scraping weeds, but they did nothing for the holes along the edge of the road.
Okay, well, we haven't got to that yet.
Okay.
I mean, they can't make everything happen all at once in one day.
Sure.
So I will follow up with the supervisor and let him know about that. Maybe they have to do that first. I don't know. I'm not a roads person, so but I will let them know that that's a concern.
Well, it's just not unfair that citizens have to go through those ditches, but it's also breaking up the blacktop. They're going to have to do more maintenance later on.
Right. And I know we have talked about Sandy Valley Road every meeting for 9 years. And then many times before that, before I was here, the director of Public Works, Dennis Cederberg, will be coming out to our meeting next month, along with Commissioner Jones, to talk to us about the progress and the plan on redoing the road. And please bring all your questions for him, and he will be here. All right. Anything else for me? Yes.
Still haven't heard about the city. Okay. I guess till last month.
I know.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? All right.
Thank you very much. We'll now move on to item number six, planning and zoning. Excuse me. The review the Transform Clark County land use plan map accurately applies title density and intensity conversions from the existing land use categories to proposed land use categories. And this is for discussion only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Amundson. I'm the Director of Comprehensive Planning. You're going to have to excuse me. I was camping last night, so we just got back in town with my husband. That's why my mind is more worrying about theirs than thinking about zoning, which sometimes are related. This is Sammy Real. She's a planning manager with Clark County. So we heard what you all had to say and a lot of other folks had to say with showing concern about the one lot per 2 acres or the half a unit per acre. So we've kept it the same. It's called an outlying neighborhood because that's what you have. You end up having an outlying neighborhood. We also have the edge neighborhood, which is the one dwelling unit an acre per acre. So if you look at this map and this map, you'll see with the exceptions of some of your public facilities and that sort of thing, it is the same. We've changed, I don't know if you can see, really can't. You've got some purplish looking pieces that are institutional. They were called institutional. Now we've changed them on this map, and it's public use because that's what it is. It's public use, so there'll be schools, there'll be churches, it'll be any public facility, it'll be this. So that is the main change. And of course the colors are different, but you can look, we've kept everything the same. The other thing though, if you want to be able to drill down, because as you can tell the maps are not compact, you can go on transformclarkcounty.com and you can drill down on every little parcel. So that is, we promised we would come back when we were ready to show the transformation, and that's what we're doing. Any questions?
What are you trying to transform here?
Well,
why?
Here we're not trying to transform. We like how you all are. But we're trying to create consistency, mostly in the valley. The issue is the descriptions were so broad, and someone would move into a neighborhood and they had a broad description next to them. They found it to be residential or large lot residential, and it was very easy for developers to come in and do higher density. And the transformation is more to be consistent, to look out to the future, and try to make it so when people move into neighborhoods, they have an idea of what they're moving into. I don't think you all have that issue out here as much as you would in the valley, but we want to make the county consistent, but we want stability, I guess you could say, in the neighborhoods. When they, for instance, this is how it is now, but when we do the South Land Use Plan, you'll get together, you'll decide if you want any of your areas changed, then we will, again, provide consistency, provide what it is that you want. Sammy is going to lead up the next phase, which is the zoning portion. And what we're trying to do with looking at a new way of defining our land use, coming with a brand new zoning code that makes it easier for everyone to understand, makes it easier for people to understand what that color means and what can go there, and trying to provide, again, clarity and consistency in every little area. Can't say throughout the county because we have so many different micro towns. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, any other questions?
I'm not sure if it falls under yours. I know it was just the transform 2.0 thing, whatever, but I mentioned about like dark, keeping the skies dark. That doesn't fall under your planning or zoning or?
Yes, it does. So I'll let Sammy.
So when we get to the code portion, the code portion is really having to do with physical development on a piece of property. There's been a request that we look into dark skies and how we can ensure that. We currently have policies right now to talk about making sure that you're writing a shape down and making sure sure that in certain zones we don't have bright, you know, illuminated signs. But understanding the recent legislation and the dark sky, I don't want to say provisions, but the dark sky suggestions that were in there and what are being considered by the state, we want to make sure that we take that into consideration for the outlying communities as we go through. But that will be in the development code portion. So that's the, right now, again, it's kind of a two-phase project. We're just working on the master plan, and then we're just beginning the portion of the development code where we're getting in, we're doing the analysis, obtaining feedback from everybody, and then we're going to take that feedback and bring forward proposals for the code and its changes, probably in small, manageable pieces, because right now it's a document that's about that big with regulations. And so, as Nancy said before, it's not to really transform our county. It's really to transform the way that we've done business and our terminology that we've used that's been used since the 70s and hasn't been updated. And really just trying to reflect our trends that we're seeing today, the technologies that we're seeing today, and to bring our code up to today and into the future. Whereas it's really, we still have video store or diaper,
they're not
service, diaper service in our code. And so we want to make it
right. And we have new things that we're trying to figure out how to, I don't want to say pigeonhole, but folks that are coming in with new proposals, we don't even have it in our code. This current edition was written in 2000. And that's the other thing, on the Transform Clark County website, you can go in and look at where we are with the zoning code, so, or the development code is what we're calling it, so.
I was noticing, when I read through it, it said something about encouraging different kinds of recreation in certain areas. We don't want you to encourage anybody to recreate out here because they were extremely dangerous and irresponsible when they come out here. We have people that ride horses in the sand dunes, and city people that don't respect that sort of thing come flying over the sand dunes. If they hurt somebody, they're going to be responsible for the damage or the life of the person and the horse they killed.
And those are things that, those are things that we can look at in the development code, but then again, those are also things that we need to discuss with the BLM, because they have, a lot of those areas are multi-use, there are some private pieces out there, and the BLM, they say it's multi-use, and they...
I'm not saying that you should try and change that. Just don't encourage city people to come out here.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm
just don't worry, we don't have a policy that says go out to the rural areas and have fun. But we'll take that policy. I understand what you're saying. And the zoning code, it doesn't have provisions like that today, and I don't foresee those kind of provisions going forward. But we'll look at the master plan and see what it says about
sanitation. And I will say that a lot of the encouragement isn't to come out to Sandy Valley or to go to Good Springs. It's more to go out in the area of the valley, go out to Red Rock, go out to Mount Charleston, those type of places that are
established recreation areas.
Yeah, a little too overcrowded, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But we're not.
That's what
we don't want you to decide that they're overcrowded, so you have to move them out here.
No. Am I allowed to ride my bike out?
Okay. You can.
Okay, that's all I care
about. Get a new bike then.
Just don't advertise, hey, there's a good place out in Sandy Valley you can go out and ride your four-wheeler.
Coming from Las Vegas Boulevard up on my bike, heading into Good Springs and out to Sandy Valley, the last time I did it, which was a couple of years ago, one thing I can say, though, that's scary, so I'm not encouraging other people to do that. It's a scary ride.
It's the steepest paved road in the state of Nevada coming in here, so.
We come next month and tell Dennis how scary it was.
So I will, but I'll do that on the side. I don't want to say we should encourage that either. So yes, ma'am.
Does this saying that where everybody has to have 2 acres to put a house down, is this going to protect us from realtors like Zillow who are trying to sell property out here? just a little over an acre.
So there's two different things. If you have, if there is a parcel that is already 1 acre, we can't stop someone from selling an established parcel. What we can do is not recognize one that did not go through the appropriate process. So someone wouldn't be able to come in and build a house.
They would never be able to get water from the state.
They would never be able to get water from the state. But I can say, if I look here, maybe there would be an acre piece that was established years and years ago, legally through, and they have a water right and that sort of thing. We can't stop them from doing that, but we can stop Zellers, a realtor, coming and saying, you know what? This big piece right here looks like it would be good, and we're going to do 5 units to an acre. We can stop that. So. Anything else?
Anybody have anything else?
All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll now move on to item number 7, general business. Reviewed last year's budget request and received input on requests for the next budget cycle.
Yes, please.
Okay. I had looked up the Zillow thing, so I see on Zillow there are several listings that are like 1.96. Are those the ones you're referring to? Mm-hmm. So that is because, like mine, I have 2.5 acres just like everybody else in here. Well, except the listing to live at the airport. Once you take the roads out, it cuts you down under 2 acres. So, but that doesn't count against you. Yeah. It's still a legal lot.
So
it's still considered 2 acres. So that's what that is. So they aren't trying to sell something less than 2 acres. They're trying to sell a legal lot that has had the
right. It has what they're technically selling what they're really doing.
Right. So like my house, I'm on two roads, on the corner of two roads. So I lease 30 feet on each side. Some people, if you're like in the middle and you have lots on either side, you're only going to lease 30 feet in front. So those might be 2.06. Mine is 1.96.
But technically, okay. Almost every place around here is a corner lot.
Right, there's some that are...
With a few that have been abandoned.
Right. So that's what it is. It's they're not trying to pull anything from me. Because if you look on realtor.com, they're legitimate lots. So. We can take that off our plate. We're okay. Yes.
Actually, it's called net gross.
Well, right.
Well, your gross lot is 2.5 acres. 2.5, 5s, 10s, 20s, that's the same value as gross nothing. Like they said, you take off the 30-foot road easement, it could be anywhere from 1.9 to 2.2. And an amateur real estate agent will list it as 1.9. But actually, they can list it as 2.5. And it's not as deceiving. You know what I mean? So everything out here is a 2.5 acre lot. But when you give up the road easements, it's 1.8, 1.9. You're not trying to sell 1 acre lots. They're all 2.5. There are some lots over here off the courts. It was done years ago, maybe 100 years ago, with the miners. About 40 or 50 of them in a row, they're like 8 acre lots. You need 16 of them to build a house. And then there's two groupings of those here in Sandy Valley, and no one can ever build them. You'd have to assemble them all and stuff. But they're right here off the courts. There's one big section of them over there. And they would set up years ago, the miners would have their tents on. And they're still selling them. They're trying to sell them.
They have those all over the county.
Yeah.
And Searchlight has a number of them. Good Springs has a number of them. And yeah.
There's two pockets of them right here in Sandy Valley.
That was
in years from now, when things start growing, most things will get resolved.
Those were back in the days when you had an outhouse and you hauled your water in.
Okay. We get on that? All right. So thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
All right, so the budget, and I just need to pull up something real quick because I printed out the ones from last time, and left the printout on my desk. Let me just pull it up really quick. I'm sorry. I thought it was in my folder. Let me look at it real quick because my battery is about to die. So last year, I'm going to run through them real quick so my battery is back. Last year we had a bike walking path along courts, which we're going to talk about next month with Zeta Cedarburg, which is probably coming along. lights for the baseball field, skate park, top hop playground, rec center, youth center, sand volleyball courts, tennis courts, shooting sports area, animal control facility, paving or increased maintenance of the back road, and paving of roads that prior to J. Evan. Those are the things that were asked for last year. And the only on here, the bike walking path along courts is hopefully coming along. All the others are they've been put in so that people know that you want them, that the different departments know that you want them, but none of the others have been funded or approved for projects. So since I got that out before my computer died. So what this is, if you haven't been involved in this process before, this is our wish list. This is things we would like to see if suddenly Public Works had $2 million and they said, what does Sandy Valley want? They would be able to look at the list of what you guys have asked for and they would know where to spend that money. Same thing with Parks and Rec. If they had park fees come in and wanted to spend it, how would we want them to spend it? So some of those things are top lot, things like that. So this is our time to talk about what things we would want, if there's anything other than what's on the list. I will tell you, I did get an email, and a resident has asked for, I have it up here, she couldn't be here tonight, a full-size public pool, and to cover the existing county arena. Those are two requests that she
opened. What was the second one?
Put a cover over the county arena, the horse arena.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yes.
I think if you're going to spend some money on anything, what the fire chief over there said is more important than anything else.
Well, that's not
water, fire,
right,
fire.
Okay. That's not a capital improvement. Right, that's not a capital improvement. That's not for this.
I know.
That is a maintenance get on it right now thing. So that doesn't need to be a part of this process because these are wish list things. That's not a wish list thing. That's what we must enter.
Okay, right. But how do we go about resolving that problem? That's more important than anything around here.
Right. I already got the people I thought were working on it. I was assured that they were working on it. Ken told me tonight they're not. So tomorrow morning I will be I'll probably text them tonight to see why I was told it was being worked on and it wasn't.
Well, if you can't do it within the next week, you let us know. A group of us will pay for the pump. We'll put it in for you.
Okay. Well, that's not the issue. They need to fix it and we will get it fixed. I don't know what I don't know, and I didn't know it wasn't.
Okay, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that's really important.
But the commissioner is the highest person, and I had talked to the highest person with RPM, and I thought they were working on it, and I got that information. So we're working on it. So are there any other things that weren't on the list? And we don't even talk about tonight. This is kind of to get your creative juices flowing. If there are things you would like to see in the community, I will tell you some of those things. Sand volleyball court, I don't know if that's going to get funded. A top lot is probably more practical. And I will tell you, I know that a resident asked for a swimming pool. The county is out of the business of swimming pools. Swimming pools are a nightmare. Indian Springs has a pool that's been there for years and years and years. They can't even get lifeguards to man it, so it's only open a couple hours a week. So. If you really want to put that on the list, I take what you give me and I send it along. But I feel like it's better to focus on things that really would be doable for the community. So that's my own philosophy. And with the covered arena as well, Horseman's Park, which if you guys are horse people, you know Horseman's Park is the biggest. They just got a covered arena. So chances of us getting a covered arena here for an arena that really isn't used that much is probably not great. But if you feel this strongly about that, we put them on the list. Yes?
I was wondering, because I thought about with the pool thing, if there was some way that it could be connected with the school, so the school had use of it during the day, so you know they could use it with that, and then you know in the evenings, weekends, it was to the public for you know seniors or youth.
Right.
Or
that's how it is in Indian Springs. It's at the school, and from my understanding is that the school doesn't have staff to run it either. Because it's a great expense. It's breaking all the time. Look at our splash pad, it's breaking all the time. So I don't know. I don't think the school would even want to. Just like the county.
I mean, in all reality, we'd probably have a hard time staffing it with the things that we struggle to staff. as is.
So yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Let's get a community pool, but when you really think about it, it's millions of dollars. You have to staff it. When do you open it? When do you close it? And breakages, and I mean, it's just
liability.
Yeah, it's huge. So that's what you can't ask for, but I'm telling you, when I even had someone approach me who isn't here about what if they donated a pool. And the county even said, that would be great. You want to build a building, put a pool in, but we still have to staff it, pay for it for the rest of the time in the morning. So it's probably not one that's probably going to give up. But like I said, it's still on the list. Yes.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh. What about, could we get an addition, like maybe like a game room? I was in, Doolittle. Mm-hmm. And they have like a place where like kids can come, and it's monitored a little bit as far as, you know, like a Parks and Recs person, but they can go in, they have some pool tables, they have some, you know, even video games.
Right, we had that on the list at Rec Center.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
The bike walking trail is down Court. Is it just on Courts?
Right. We were what we've talked about and what Dennis committed to with the commissioner and I was a paved multi-use path along Courts. There along Courts, there's excess right of way enough where we can do it. Along the rest of the zigzag and stuff, it's private property. It wouldn't be as doable. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this would allow connectivity for our main businesses and facilities in the valley. So it would go from here all the way down to the bar. Not that kids need to go to the bar, but that way. Yes?
Another thing I'd like to see on the wish list is benches around the walking area you got in the park already. So that especially seniors and people who aren't very physically capable of got some place to sit while they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
And water to the senior center when the splash pad is going.
Well, that's something they're trying to fix. That's part of the whole problem.
Oh, okay.
How about replacement trees for the ones that they erroneously put in there?
They've replaced them multiple times.
It's because they keep replacing with trees that are supposed to die.
They're not supposed to. But
if you put a Palo Verde, it's supposed to die out here. They freeze every year.
And that's not really a budget request. We're talking about million dollar things. That's just a maintenance request.
So on that list, we had tennis courts. I know one thing that's kind of taken off at the school, especially with our elementary kids,
pickleball.
Is pickleball.
What?
Pickleball.
It's taken off everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And I was talking to people this weekend about it. It's kind of like tennis
like badminton?
And badminton on a smaller court. It's a little, from what I've been told, it's a lot more accessible to people. It's not as physically demanding. If you've ever actually played tennis, it's not quite as physically demanding, which allows for more people to do it. I know my youngest daughter, she learned it up at the school and loves it. So.
Yeah, so tonight we're just talking next month. You'll actually vote on it, and so it might be a good idea to change tennis to pickleball.
Okay.
But yeah, they're converting a lot of parks in town over to pickleball courts. So. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Gibson even had a pickleball tournament at Sunset Park. Yeah.
Is it possible, and I don't know what this pickleball thing is or what the court even looks like, but you know, even if there was, you know, like when you're on a tennis court where they have just the board so you can just hit the ball yourself, and I don't know if that can be incorporated to that, if it's, I don't know what, like I said, what the court looks like, but if we had something like that where it was an enclosed area where we had, you know, so you could just play against yourself or exercise whatever would be great.
There's a thing at Moncton's Edge Park, I think, where there's a section where it's like that, and then all along it, there's like a hole to throw a football and a hole for a basketball.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Like all the sports combined.
That's nice.
It's really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
Hmm. Yes.
Did anybody mention the skateboard park?
Yeah, that's on the list.
Because I see the kids always in the basketball court, and I would like to see something for the bigger kids, and I know the little kids are coming up. So.
Yeah, it's on the list. All right,
the skateboard park would be way better because we're tired of picking them up off the
basketball.
Yeah, a skate park has definitely been talked about a lot. Commissioner Jones likes skate parks, likes bike parks. I will tell you, and this is going to be my little plug, we do something called CDBG, their Community Development Block Grants, and we have a committee called CDAC. And CDAC is made up of people from each community that sit down and get to listen to all the presentations for people who asked for these block grants from the federal government. That's how we got our park. And we haven't had someone sit on that committee for a couple years. And we can't ask for stuff if we're not at the table. If there's not someone sitting at that table when that money, millions and millions of dollars are being decided, we don't, and it can't be me. It has to be someone from the community. So this November, when I asked for someone to sit on CDAC, please consider it, because that literally is how we got this $3 million, because the county didn't have $3 million sitting around to do these improvements. We got a grant for it from the federal government. So just a little plug for please get involved.
I've done it before. If anybody is interested, it's not that much work and kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
So yeah, you'll get to hear about all the projects that are being proposed. And a lot of it is like homeless youth shelters and at-risk youth things like that, soup kitchens, things like that. But it's also things like this. So that's just my 2 cents there. Okay, so keep your creative juices flowing. Think about other parks you've been to or other communities you've been to that have things that you think would work well here. That's it on that. So next month we'll yeah.
It might be sort of ridiculous, but there's two parks in town that have fishing ponds. Can we have one of those?
No. I can tell you no, and it's crazy that you would come up with something ridiculous. I can't believe that. But no. Because Good Springs asked for that next to their fire station, and I had to tell them no. Fishing ponds are not something I'm even willing to ask for. Sorry, it's if we can't do a pool, we can't do a pond. And because of laws about water and standing water, it would probably take more regulations than a pool. So no, I won't say no even hard except for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a hard message.
You always name a fire suppression pond.
That's what they're trying to say in Good Springs, and it's a desert out there, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a reservoir you can suck dry when you need it.
All right, we good? All right, we'll go to item number 8. This is comments by the general public. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board or council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up and clearly state your name and address. Please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board or the council by majority vote. Yes.
Gail Beckman, Happenings Newspaper. September 11th is the 20-year anniversary of September 11th. The American Legion is doing a few words, a couple speeches and stuff from 11 o'clock speeches and such, but we're feeding the community hamburgers, hot dogs, and everything at the Idle Spurs. It's an outdoor event. There'll also be cornhole and horseshoes, also outdoor events. And then the Saturday after, Sandy Mesquite is hosting a cultural exchange. It's gonna be Mexican and Central American food, music, and entertainment. Also outdoors here at the park, it'll start with a parade, 10 o'clock, and it ends at 5 o'clock. So it'll be booths and such, similar to what we had done for 4th of July, but our first of hopefully many cultural exchanges. The next ones planned are Native American powwow and a Hawaiian one. So we don't know when, but this is our first one. Hopefully everything will go as planned. The other thing, we have the dumpster at the pass. The idea was for people to toss their trash in as they're coming into town, and it worked for the most part, but now, as soon as it's dumped on Friday, it's filled up Friday night by some friendly friendly community people. So I'm wondering if we should keep it going. I know I've had complaints to myself, and I've passed some, I think, an email on to you, Megan, about our monthly trash that is ended like at 10 when it goes to 8 to noon. Is it still happening?
I got the information. I didn't respond. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, so there was a miscommunication on that, and I talked to Tony. He sends his apologies, and that should not happen.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, people were coming to me saying the dumpsters are always full on the designated trash days at Kingston or wherever it's at each month. And so I'm wondering if those people are putting it there or... And so my husband is saying, this was not intended for this. This was to keep our mountainside clean. I doubt those people are cleaning up the whole mountain and putting it all in that dumpster. We're doing our part, but, I mean, I'm wondering if it should just go away or... What's everyone's opinion?
I noticed this last week that there was mattresses and everything in there and a lot of trash over on the ground, you know, and it was just, and what was piled up there was going to blow out. So
yeah.
It was creating more of a nuisance at that point. Then.
Well, and what Mark and I have done, and then the Legion is next for the next 3 months, is to go there each week, pick up what may have blown away. But also Tony has said bags of stuff can be put alongside. They'll still take everything that's there. But that was his first comments, who's going to abuse it? And it's like, so being abused. So it's like, we try to make it something different.
We made contact with the public, and they gave us a 40-yard dumpster. You know what a gravel pit is up on top there?
Yeah.
There's a little road in there. People have been dumping there for years. So they gave us a free 40-yard dumpster, and we loaded it. And a week later, same people dumping carpet. It's the same product.
Yeah.
Right? And landscapers who are doing landscaping in Vegas that live out here bring the debris back, and I caught one guy in there and called BLM and they went to his house.
Well, and then my thing is, if they're not putting it in that dumpster, are they just going to toss it in the desert? Yeah. Are they going to be pissed?
Well, anyway, what I was saying was leaving that thing up there, at least it's visible. If you don't have that there, they're going down these little side roads and dumping it in the desert. Better off leave it there and have a little bit of mess.
And we've seen people come up with their kids and toss their trash from town right into it. I mean, it's working to some degree, but I keep telling my husband, well, otherwise it's just going to go somewhere else down a dirt road in the desert.
That dumpster up there is a great idea. However, if we don't have an additional dumpster where people could dump stuff like that open pretty much all the time or at least one day a week, it's going to continue to be like that.
Someone asked if I could get another one at the end of the or before the zigzag. It's like, I was just trying to make this as you come in the valley, toss your trash.
But unfortunately, a little one won't do the trick.
Right.
But hold on.
Okay.
One day a week, we do have that. If you put anything that's going in that dumpster in the middle of the pass that you have to drive to, if you put it out in front of your house with your trash cans, they will take it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a refrigerator because of the Freon. Or
and we
paint
grow those in our house.
Every single, because we live in the rural areas, every single week is bulk week. So there is no reason anyone in here that has trash picked up should have to drive to that dumpster to put something in it.
So maybe I do a story re-educating the valley on what can be picked up. I know about hazardous household materials. You don't think that'll help?
No. Oh. I never heard that. You put mattresses out, they're going to take them.
Wow. And a lot of people take them for the trash cans.
They do need to figure out something to do with refrigerators because we can't keep in this valley every single refrigerator that ever comes here.
Well, when you get a new one, if you're having it delivered, you can have them take it away. But that isn't just our valley, that's everywhere. And you can't. If you drain the Freon out and do it the right way, they'll pick it up. It's just they can't. It's an APA standard. It's not a Republic being a jerk
There's
standard.
There's no it's one who will drain a refrigerator out here for less than a lot of money.
There's Republic Services, if you call them by the fridge, they have a company that will come get the refrigerator. You have to call that company and set that up. Because we just bought a new one for them.
Thank you. I will find out what that is. But I hear what you're saying, but fridges are not... That's like the problem. I haven't seen one fridge up there at that dumpster.
No,
well, there are a few in every yard.
But
There's no reason that you can't have stuff to go.
And then wouldn't be the dump day, can't they go to that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, but they're full generally by 9 o'clock.
Well, she said that's
I don't, kind of revenue. I don't know
and they turn people away.
I don't know that generally is accurate.
There okay, the last four times I've been there, they filled them up and been closed before everybody was finished dumping.
Okay. I just said that Tony said that's not going to happen again. There was a miscommunication. And if you've gone four times, you never told me about it once. So you guys, I can't fix stuff if you don't tell me. So Gail told me, I talked to Tony, it's going to get fixed. So please, you don't think you're going to bother me? This is my job, to help with this stuff. So everybody says, oh, I don't want to bother you. This is a bother when I find out 4 months later that people are frustrated and not getting the service they want. So, yeah.
Are you aware we have service coming out twice?
We have what?
We have service coming out twice in a week. We have a Tuesday that they pick up at school.
Well, probably the school's on a different schedule.
No, they pick up Tuesdays and Fridays.
That's right.
Right, but they don't do everybody else.
Right.
The Tuesdays.
No, I understand that. Right. I was wondering if Tuesday could be
in that one track, because they're coming all the way out here for school trash. So, like,
But then where would they go? Who would get that second day service?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, so maybe it's just more education on what you can do with your own trash and keep the dumpster until they tell us we can't.
Yeah, we can do it every week. That's awesome. We don't have
absolutely.
One of the concerning things you said was drain oil. Just so everyone's aware, too, if you packaged your drain oil, Walmart will take it. They'll have you just set it out right outside their service bay doors.
Oh, and paint, oil, and batteries. If you or your neighbors, if you're getting a bunch of that built up, let me know. We can schedule for the Republic Services Household Hazardous Truck to come out one day, and you can bring it on and they'll take it. So paint, oil, and batteries. And I think there's some other things, but those are the big three. So let's communicate, everybody. Let's talk about it.
On dump days, they'll take paint, oil, and batteries.
Yep.
You just don't throw them in the dumpster, you set them in their truck, the back of their pickup truck.
Yeah. Right. But it's not a routine part of it. Hazardous, they don't do every week. The hazardous.
Yeah, that's what they did.
They've always saved it for me.
Okay. Well, then you're lucky. That's good.
So, Gail, maybe you just need to educate them better on the dump date. Saturday at 9 o'clock till
from the day, September 1st.
Thank you.
To educate us that every single Friday is dump day.
So you can do it little by little rather than.
Yeah. You don't have to wait for that one day of the month.
But some people don't even know that dump day is open on Saturdays.
If you see what shows up at dump day, you'll have a pickup truck that's full with a trailer that's full. You can't put that next to your garbage can and expect them to pick it up. They won't do it.
No,
not
you
that
can put
much.
Up that mattress or whatever it is. You know, I mean, you can if you've got four Fridays to work with, you know, that you can put out a little bit. You don't have to go to that big dump day.
Right. You don't have to load it up. Tickets are already loaded. Yeah. I don't get it, but
I'm psyched that I get to do it all day, every Friday. I'm psyched.
All right, let's move on to our other comments. Do we have other comments at this time? All right, looks like we have no other comments. Our next meeting date will be September 14th, 2021. This meeting is adjourned. So it's a smaller court than like tennis.
Uh-huh.
Like it's
like 7.
It's almost like a half.